I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. All of us are seeking to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I want you to think about our family. It extends the four walls of this auditorium. When we come to meet together here, I say every time we come, and through all these years I've expressed the same thing to all of you, I say welcome to this meeting of the Temple Baptist Church. It is not the Temple Baptist Church. It is the meeting of the Temple Baptist Church. Because there are more people involved in the Temple Baptist Church and church ministries and church family than the people who gather here in any one meeting. And we're grateful for the family of God in heaven and earth. We have hundreds of our people who've gone on to glory. Think of that. And we can have their names for you. As a matter of fact, we've been working on that. I want to remember them and remember their faithful service to the Lord. A while back, God put upon my heart to bring two messages on this day, both on faith. And of course, we're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews when we're dealing with the subject of faith. And we have friends who need to be encouraged all around the world who watch and listen, and I'm grateful for them. Many pastors have sent information to me and said, we're going to be watching your services. We're not meeting in our church services. So many of them are our graduates. And so I want to encourage them with God's word. May the Lord bless and use all of this in His name for His glory. If you have your Bible in the book of Hebrews, remember, God gives us this summary in Hebrews. When we come to the 10th chapter, God is preparing us to come into the 11th chapter. In chapter 10, God gives a conclusion to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His sacrifice of Himself with His death on the cross, with His death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that He's ascended to heaven and ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we're grateful to God for this. You have the words in verse 19 of chapter 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have this boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God. And notice the let us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And again, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Again, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And then we come to these verses in the 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark the expression, now faith is, and we have already discussed with one another, the fact that our God is eternally present. I want you to have that fixed in your mind, that God is eternally present. Remember when Moses said to the Lord, whom shall I say has sent me on the mission God gave him to go and announce to the nation of Israel that God was moving and working on their behalf? He said, I am. Eternally present. I am. And the Word of God tells us faith is. Faith must be expressed in the moment, trusting the Lord, believing God. And the only real Christian life, the only real Christian life is the faith life. That's the only real Christian life there is. It's the only life God rewards. Look, please, at chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we want God's blessing and God's reward, it cannot be ours without the faith life. And so God help us to live this faith life. I want to show you some demonstrations here, if you would, while we're introducing a few of these things. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, God describes what faith accomplishes. I want you to mark, just in these two verses, nine things God says to us about what faith is described as accomplishing. Notice verse 33, Hebrews chapter 11. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Much talk about nations and the power of nations. But the Bible says faith subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All of this is accomplished through the faith life. So you and I ought to be encouraged to know that we have a God in whom we can place our trust. Remember, the object of faith is not faith. We're not faithing in faith. Our faith is in the Lord. And we're trusting him and believing him. The object of our faith is the person of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. And so we divide this verse and then put it back together. The first part says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. I want you to write somewhere near the word substance, the word confidence, the substance. We're standing on this confidence. This is where we stand. Faith has provided this for us. And then the second part of the verse says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And second part, the evidence of things not seen. Somewhere near the word evidence, I want you to write the word proof. It is the proof. It is the proof of things not seen. And please remember that we connect this first verse with verses 2 and 3. As a matter of fact, the whole chapter deals with this. For by it the elders obtained a good report. If you and I want a good report before God, the way to have a good report before God is to live by faith. To live the faith life. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then through faith we understand. The Bible says that the world is without understanding. In Romans chapter 1, part of what we find out in the description of 23 different things God says about a world with a reprobate mind is that they do not have understanding. Simply stated, the Word of God says that people come to the point where they are without understanding. But on the other side of that, the child of God has understanding. And the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This is the understanding that God gives us. Somewhere in verse 1, notice please, hope. God gives us hope. I want us to walk our way up to this verse, beginning in the third chapter just for a moment. Because God speaks to us about hope in this book of Hebrews and then brings us to this 11th chapter in verse 1 and the subject of hope. If you notice, please, in chapter 3, begin with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. The Bible says, for every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. God is building a house. This is one of the great metaphors that God uses to talk about his people and his wonderful work. He's building up a house. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we. God calls us his flock, his body. Here refers to us as his house. Whose house, that's Christ's house, are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. God is building a house. You and I are part of it if we've been born again. And in this house we have hope. And our hope is in the Lord. Misplacing that hope will bring discouragement to your heart. I want you to turn again with me, please, to the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let's begin with the 9th verse. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I want you to mark that expression, though we have things that accompany salvation. It's one of my favorite subjects. When we get salvation, that's not all that comes to us. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. We've been saved, as we say. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty was paid when Christ died on the cross. He appeared on Calvary for our justification. And when he bled and died for our sin, he cried out, "It is finished. The price has been paid. Our salvation is finished." And we come to the Lord trusting in Christ and his sacrifice of himself for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we find that salvation full, free, and forever. He saves us also from the power of sin. He didn't just die and was buried and rose from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples and ascended to heaven. This is what the book of Hebrews is all about. And he sits at the right hand of God, ever living, to make intercession for us. And his work there is to deliver us and to save us from the power of sin in our lives. We cry out to God. We have immediate access to the Lord. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we cry out to God and we seek his help and aid, and he delivers us with his mighty power and gives us power over sin. But he also saves us from the very presence of sin. And when you and I leave this world, separate from this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars, we're going to be with God. And when we go to be with God, there'll be no sin in heaven. No sin. And so, we shall be glorified with him. As a matter of fact, he died on the cross for our justification. Justification does not mean just as if we never sinned. It means just as if we were never sinners. Do you understand that you and I have a record in heaven with God with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life that say we were never even sinners? Because it's Christ's record. He appeared on the cross for that, for our justification. He appears in heaven now. While I'm preaching, he's praying for me. While you're listening, he's praying for you. While we're laboring for God in these perilous times, he's praying for us. Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm pulling for you." That's wonderful. What about praying? Interceding. Christ is interceding and praying for us. He literally saves us from the power of sin that wants to drag us down. The devil loves nothing better than to bring shame and disgrace to God's children. He tried once to destroy the Lord. He tried everything all through Scripture to destroy the lion that was promised, the L-I-N-E, the lion that God had coming of salvation for us. We can point those things out. But when he was not able to destroy the Christ, when Christ conquered the devil through his death, burial, and resurrection, Then he turned his attention on the church and God's people. And so he has a heyday trying to destroy God's people. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy me. You and I can't make it alone. The book of Hebrews is about the high priest we have, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, saving us from the power of sin in our lives. And someday, praise God, when he comes again, and he is coming again, when he comes again, he'll save us from the very presence of sin. From the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. He appeared on the cross for our justification. He appears in heaven for our sanctification. He shall appear in the clouds someday to call us from here for our glorification. We should be like him. There are so many wonderful things that came to us when the Lord came to us for salvation. These things accompany salvation. I've just mentioned some of it. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Sometimes we're dying for recognition, and the Bible says God knows all we're doing for him, all of it, and he will reward us and bless us for it. The Bible says in verse 11 of chapter 6, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, keep it going unto the end. Notice, please, the 18th verse in the same chapter. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Have you laid hold on that hope by God's name and by God's word? Then the next verse in verse 19, the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Would you mark that expression? Our hope is sure and steadfast. It's an anchor for the soul, and which entereth into that within the veil. And so, we have a sure and steadfast hope in our Lord. And then when we come to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and the Bible says, following all that up, now faith is the substance, the confidence, the thing on which we stand, the substance of things hoped for. It's real. And the evidence of things not seen, the proof, the evidence of things not seen. Let's comment on that just a bit. One of the great ways to study Scripture is compare Scripture with Scripture. So I want you to turn with me, please, with your place held here in Hebrews chapter 11, to the second book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And remember, the Lord uses here through the life of the Apostle Paul a word about faith that we all need. We return to the 13th verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith. This must be the spirit of our church, the Temple Baptist Church, the spirit of faith. We attempt things because of what we believe. We say things because of what we believe. We have a steadfast and sure anchor in the Lord. We live in this spirit of faith. Don't be a cannot-do person. Be a can-do person. The Bible says, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That ought to be the attitude. And it makes the atmosphere of our church what it ought to be. Let's launch out to do great things in the name of God. Expect great things from him. And God's given us faith to do that. And we praise him. Someone said one time about some of us that we don't think like other people. We don't. Because God is in the center of our thinking. Our hearts have been changed. This is where God does His greatest work. He does the greatest work on this earth in our home. He does the greatest work in each of our lives, in our hearts. Is God doing a great work in your heart? In Hebrews 4:12, I'll come back here in a moment to 2 Corinthians. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe God's word is true, and the Spirit of God takes the word of God and He moves and helps us to yield our will to Him and brings understanding to us about how we ought to live. And we recognize we're committed to this. It is God's work. It is God's way, and we're committed to it. Our will is surrendered. Sometimes we work so hard trying to get people to do things, but when God works in their heart and He affects their will and they surrender to Him and see Him, when they recognize faith is the substance of things hoped for, the confidence of things hoped for, and the evidence or proof of things not seen, then we're ready to serve the Lord. And He gives us understanding about this is what we're to do. Paul is taking up this subject with the Corinthian Christians in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. For this spirit of faith, I think we ought to emblazon that in our church, Temple Baptist Church, with the spirit of faith. According as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. I love this word knowing. It's a confidence. We know because of what Jesus did in His resurrection. Because He lives, as He told His disciples, we shall live also. That's where our hope is. And everything is validated that Christ said by the fact that He did rise from the dead. And it gives us an exclamation point, loudly and sure, that whatever He said is true. He lived, He died, He rose from the dead. And we need this kind of hopeful life. That's what faith does. And then the Bible says in verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes." That's a difficult verse. I've said to you before on many occasions, this is, for me, the hardest verse in the Bible. The coronavirus, the changes necessitated in our church. All things. I'd like to take a list and rub off some of those things. I don't like to have to cancel things and change all things around. And neither do you. We make plans. We rule and make our plans. But God overrules and speaks to our hearts and says, "Are you willing to follow me? Just follow me. Just trust me. Just believe me." Is it possible that we could do things that you and I don't necessarily want to initiate, we think would make us weaker, but in the end God would make us stronger? Is that possible? Is it possible? That's what we find in Scripture. Is it possible that trimming things up and getting to the bare bones and getting to the primitive way of worshiping God, just singing the great hymns of faith, praying and preaching the Word of God, could make us stronger? Our president has called this day a day of prayer. We mustn't neglect that. "For all things are for your sakes." Would you like to change that little word "all" in verse 15? Or can we say "all things"? "That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Remember, there is an outward man and an inward man. While one grows weaker, the other grows stronger. One is perishing, and the other can get stronger and stronger. I'm going to tell you this. Let's nail it down. I mean, drive it deep in your soul. All these things that we're called on to do, let's ask God with sincerity, simplicity, and sincerity toward God. Ask God that all these things will make us stronger in the inner man. Will you ask God that will make your home stronger? If you and I take the emphasis that we have publicly and turn it into an emphasis privately, it'll make us stronger in the inner man. If you and I take the emphasis that we're satisfied with that is public in prayer and Bible teaching and preaching and are forced to make it a private matter to feed our souls, you know we're going to be stronger in the inner man. That's what we're praying for. And the inner man renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, we hadn't been asked to change for a lifetime. For a moment. Just a few moments. For a moment. But for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Is it possible that God can take temporary things and work eternal things in our lives? Yes, the answer is yes. Is it possible that God could take momentary things that enact changes in our churches, in our lives, and work for us something eternal, which is greater, far greater? The answer is yes. But it requires going through it by what? By faith. By faith. Not sight, but faith. While we look not at the things which are seen. And if we're going to look not, we have to act on that. Because the temptation is always look at the things that are seen. Some of us never leave the meetings without talking about who wasn't here. Some of us never leave anything without talking about something that wasn't what it ought to have been that we saw. The faith life looks not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The evidence, the proof. Faith is the substance, say it with me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith must look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is working. I believe that a mighty revival could come out of all of this. I really do. If it turns us Godward, a mighty revival could come out of this. But revival is an individual matter. It's something that happens in an individual's heart. It doesn't come to an entire church. You say, Pastor, don't you know we have this many people in this and this many people in that, and we go on and on with our numerical things? I think I'm aware. I'm aware of our seating shepherds and what each seating shepherd has as far as who people are in their seating section. I'm aware of what's enrolled in all of our Bible clubs and how many people are enrolled in our, all of that. In the second coming of the Sunday school, in the senior residence centers, we deliberately work hard at trying to keep up with people, and we are trying our best to keep up with people, and we must communicate with those people. It's not right that they should go weeks and not hear from us. And so we should do what is necessary to make sure they hear from us. And by the way, I say this quickly and get it over with. Only God knows all the hazards and attempts at discouragement and fiery darts that are thrown at us while we're going through this kind of thing. And I don't want to whine because God is able. But it's the devil's business to disrupt and tear things down. If we win the victory, it will not be done by gritting our teeth and pressing through. If we win the victory, it'll be faith. Because the Bible says faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And that's what we're believing God for. And I want us all to come out stronger, with a stronger faith in God, with a stronger church. And I'm going to go far enough to say this. Every single solitary ministry that has to be, for the moment, put aside. Think of it. Many bus teams, Sunday school teams, workers are not going to be going to homes, knocking on doors. Will we ever get it cranked up again? The young people who are organized in middle schools and high schools to meet and pray for their schools, will we ever get that moving forward again? With the activity directors at more than 40 senior residence centers, when we've given up our time to meet and pray and preach, will we ever be able to retrieve that? And me standing and saying, if you have little ones, I don't want you to come to the church service. I want you to stay home and watch. If your health is compromised in any way, and there's several of our dear precious people battling cancer, having treatments, they do not need to be out risking getting something that could take their lives. But will we ever recover from that? Will they? How are you going to deal with all of it? One way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is this confidence in God, this proof that God is in it. And so we don't look to faith, we look to the Lord who gives us faith. And we trust Him and believe Him. That's what I'm saying to you. And let's make the most of it. Not the most in activity. Yes, contacting. Yes, praying. Every list becomes a prayer list. And it's not just us and those people. Us and those children who ride the buses. Us and those kids in a Bible club. Us and the residents of a senior residence center. It is bombarding heaven at the throne of grace with our great high priest, praying and asking God to work in their lives and do something in their lives and in our lives while we're praying for them that would not be done if we didn't give this intense attention to prayer in the inner man. You understand that? May God give you understanding. And when it's all done with, and it will be done with, in the schools, the college, what about all these students we're telling not to come back? What about the responsibility laid upon the faculty and administrators now to do all the work online? Thank God they've done the work and they're ready to do that just to step into it. And the same thing's happening in the academy. Could it be that something wonderful comes out of that? That we find out more aggressively and accurately how to do those kinds of things? We're doing it and we're setting up to do it. We can actually start that immediately. Because of all the hard work that's been done in preparatory work, how will it affect the long term? Will you believe God with me? Will you believe God with me that it'll be greater because of this? That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Will you believe God with me that God wants to work a mighty revival at some point of desperation and prayer on our part? And he wants to use our weaknesses to prove his strength. Let's believe God for it. Amen? The Bible says in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There is a family of like precious faith. Paul wrote to Rome and he said, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. People around the world are dealing with the same thing with which we're dealing. They're not all the same, but there are millions that are the same who truly know the Lord and are a part of this mutual faith we share in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that God will move on that family of faith and the Lord's work will move forward like never before. Let's do our part, your personal part, my personal part, our church's part, being faithful all the way through it. Amen. Let's pray together, may we?